I'm still standing.
But are you going to sing it?
No.
Come on. Come on.
We're going to be sharing about putting on the armor of God, mm-hmm. how we aren't supposed to just be beat up and defeated, but we're supposed to keep standing. And she, pretty much every time we had lunch, she would ask the waiter, can I pray for you? She would mm-hmm. just say, I'm a believer. My friend Aaron here, he's a believer. We love to pray for people. Can we pray for you before we leave? And she did that probably 100 times.
It's really sweet. And she never got cussed out. I love what Joyce Meyer says. She says you can be pitiful or you can be powerful, but you can't be both. You cannot be both. And I think about this all the time because as a woman, I know you already know if you're a woman and you're watching this, we're tempted. Hello, and welcome to the Purdue Podcast, and I am Pastor Heather Purdue, and who are you?
I'm Pastor Aaron Purdue. I'm her other half.
We are so glad that you're taking the time out to be with us and just conversate with us and hearing us tell our stories, but we have a great topic to discuss today, don't we, mm-hmm. Pastor Aaron? What are we talking about?
I'm still standing.
But are you going to sing it?
No.
Come on. Come on.
You can sing it if you want to.
No, I'm chicken.
I usually play the flute here at church. I have a doctorate in music. I play flute, and we have a lot of good singers, so I usually have other people sing.
You could play it on the flute.
I could.
The jazz flute.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
I could play. That'd be good. I should have brought my flute for this. Played a song. Anyways, we're going to be sharing about putting on the armor of God, mm-hmm. how we aren't supposed to just be beat up and defeated, but we're supposed to keep standing. You know, there's like the saying, last man standing. You know, we're supposed to be the one standing.
Yeah.
And every now and then, you know, there are fights that we go through, battles that we go through, mm-hmm. and the Bible talks about it. It's not against flesh and blood. It's not against people. Mm-hmm. But, you know, there is an enemy. Mm-hmm. He's defeated, but he's still.
I think it's important to know the root of the situation, the problem.
Yeah.
The challenge.
It's interesting as pastors, you kind of recognize it more. Like some issues mm-hmm. and things that flare up, you know, wouldn't it happen if you're working at Walmart or.
I know, yeah.
Some of the things you deal with. It's because the devil has a target on the church's back.
Yeah.
And he'll get in people's head as much as they allow him to. But you have to keep standing and just have that ability to recognize what the root mm-hmm. of the issue is.
Yeah.
And sometimes when it doesn't make sense, it's because, you know, the enemy is just sowing confusion mm-hmm. in people's minds. And that's why it doesn't make sense.
So. Yeah. This reminds me of like when I was younger. And I first started out my walk with the Lord, maybe before I really got serious mm-hmm. about my relationship with God, things would happen to me and people would say, oh, everything happens for a reason. Mm-hmm. And then when I started studying the Word and I started finding out that, yeah, things happen for a reason, all right, because there is a devil out there and he comes to steal, kill, and destroy, right?
Well, and something I want to mention, too, you know, in Scripture, when Jesus was baptized in water mm-hmm. by John the Baptist and, you know, hear the voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased, and the Holy Spirit descended upon him, remained upon him like a dove. Shortly after, that's when the devil came against him.
Yeah.
You know, and there's the three temptations. And every temptation started off with a question of your identity. Mm-hmm. You know, so Jesus just heard this voice from heaven saying, this is my Son. So I knew, you know, I believe he knew before that, but it was a huge moment. And that's, he didn't perform a single miracle till after that. But that's when the devil attacked him and said, if you are the Son of God.
Yeah.
And scripturally, I haven't heard too many people talk about this. I love interesting theological kind of thoughts and questions and debates. But I believe that the first person or being that Jesus just outright told who he was, that he was God, was the devil. Because the devil tempted him and said, you know, if you are the Son of God, take this bread, you know, take these stones and turn it into bread. And he said, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. He was quoting the Old Testament, but that quote, you know, it's the Lord your God, it's Lord, all caps, Yahweh.
Yeah.
So Jesus just outright told the enemy, who he was.
And you need to
Even the one of the other temptations when he took him to the pinnacle of the temple and said, you know, throw yourself off because, you know, the enemy knows scripture too. He's like, he, you know, when he lies, he's not just, it's not always just a flat out lie because he's trying to be deceptive. So there's a little twist to it. Like, hey, the scripture says if you, you know, you're, the angels will bear you up lest you dash your foot against a stone.
Yeah.
You know, quoting Psalm 91, but he said, you shall worship the Lord your God and him only you shall serve. Again, saying I'm God, so shut up.
Yeah. You know, that reminds me of like when people are like, oh, you believe in too much grace. You know, it's about what you do too. Like salvation is about what you do too. But that's like another point in scripture where Jesus said, no, it's not about just knowing grace and going out and doing whatever you want. Like, you will serve the Lord your God. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Like, so people will say, oh, well, you just think that you can just go out and live however you want to because you believe in grace. And I'm like, no, actually, grace, I'm so thankful for grace that I only want to live for God. Like, I only want to do what he
wants. Well, people who really understand grace, like, they have a revelation of how to live, too. And they do want to honor God. Like, So focusing in on grace, God's love for you, it doesn't push you away from living right. The Bible says, you know, Paul writes to Titus that grace teaches us how to live soberly, righteously in this present world. So grace actually teaches us.
Mm-hmm. It does.
You know, Jesus was full of grace and truth. So grace and truth go together.
Yeah.
It's not like grace and then you don't have much truth.
Yeah.
That's why it's important to seek truth. We're going to kind of talk about that when we talk about the armor of God. That's the first thing. That helps you really stand against the schemes, the wiles of the devil is truth.
Yeah.
And, you know, of all the things that the devil is called, you know, he's the author of a lot of junk. Mm-hmm. You know, Jesus said in John 10:10 that I've come to give you life and life more abundant. It's the thief that comes to steal, kill, and destroy.
Yeah.
So he steals, he kills, he destroys. But, he's a thief. He's a destroyer. Mm-hmm. He's a murderer. He's a killer. But his main title is the father of lies. So if you want to stand against him, you need to really seek truth.
Yeah.
And also kind of guard against people who lie a lot because that's giving heed to the schemes of the enemy.
Yeah.
We talked about how just dangerous gossip is. Like we do the youth ministry here at church and kind of at the age these. Students are starting to experience people who might gossip.
Oh yeah,
who twist things. Yeah. Who, you know, it's very hurtful. But the source of that is, it's not a good source.
Yeah. Well, there's a father of lies.
Yeah.
So, the source is the enemy, the devil.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
So I love some of the points that you made. Just for people to realize too, this is we have a. This is an awesome church here where we're filming right now, where we're both plugged in, serving here. But we have a lot of great ministers who actually call this church their home. Our church is called Charis Christian Center.
And Charis means?
Grace. Grace. It's the Greek word for grace. A lot of people, it's funny how many people call it Charis.
Yeah.
But it's Charis Christian Center. And it's a church, but it's a center for Christian ministry and kingdom advancement. And there's a lot of people who have great ministries that come here. Actually, my dad's Bible school dean comes here, Dr. Delron Shirley. And he's there like pretty much every Sunday when he's not traveling around the world. He's a great evangelist and teacher. And
missionary.
Missionary. I think he's been to 70 different countries. But he's usually there first service, just planted, receiving the word, hearing from God. Which I think is awesome.
And so is his wife. His wife serves in children's ministry.
Yeah.
Which is amazing to think. What a blessing to have such a seasoned minister come and want to teach our children.
Well,
that's amazing. Yeah. That's
amazing. And someone has a kingdom mindset.
Yeah.
Not a me mindset, but a kingdom mindset.
Yeah.
In the local church, it's so important. I think every single believer should be in the local church.
Yeah.
And so if you live in a really remote area where there isn't a church, I get that. And you can, thanks to technology, you can connect other ways or visit on occasion. And but, you know, the New Testament, I was just thinking about this. It's written to local churches. It's written to pastors. It's, mm-hmm. you know, it is God's system.
Yeah.
For expanding Gross. His yeah. kingdom, reaching people, discipling people.
Discipling people, yes.
Having and people in community. Yeah. It just is.
It was I'm actually working on being a systems person, mm-hmm. but I am not by nature a systems person. I don't enjoy making systems. Mm-hmm. I have to say that by faith that I'm going to start enjoying that. And I like it after it's done. But in the meantime, like in the middle of it, I don't like it. Mm-hmm. But I'm saying all that to say, I have a whole new appreciation for systems mm-hmm. and the fact that God created church as his system. Mm-hmm. I know there's somebody out there watching here who, you know exactly what I'm talking about because you're a systems person and you might be saying like, Lord, help me grow. The way for your growth, the way God wants to grow you is by you getting connected in a local church. And I know that Pastor Aaron just said, you know, I know some of you probably live out in places where there might not be one. I want you to think about praying about moving to find a church. And I'm not saying that's for everyone, mm-hmm. but there are a lot of people out there that would really benefit. You know, people move for jobs. People mm-hmm. move for, you know, to go to weather. School. People move because they don't like the weather. Mm-hmm. It's beautiful here in Colorado. So I'm just saying, I know there's somebody watching and it's speaking to you mm-hmm. that you are supposed to move here and come to church. And I'm telling you right now, you'll never regret it. You'll never, ever regret it because that is God's system.
And we have quite a few families that actually drive.
We've had people that have moved
2 hours one way to come to church.
Yeah.
And which is awesome. And I see the fruit of it.
Oh,
in
tremendously.
In their family's lives.
Yes.
So it's awesome. Amazing. But Delron Shirley, Dr. Shirley, who yeah. comes here, you have a quote from him that says that there's two types of people.
Yeah.
There's saints and there's ain'ts.
I love ain'ts.
Yeah, and so saints are people that are born again.
I mean, I love saints
too,
but
in Christ did, and the ain'ts are people that haven't received Jesus. They don't believe on Jesus.
Yeah, and there are a lot of people that go to church even, mm-hmm. and they think that they're a saint, but they might not even be born again.
Mm. And this kind of leads me to something too, and this is where God was really speaking to me about the armor of God.
Mm-hmm.
He was just showing me how oftentimes he's dealing with me.
Oh, yeah.
But I realize it's a lot of other people. Like, you have this mindset of, I'm on the defense.
Oh, yeah.
I'm trying to protect myself. You know, I'm trying to safeguard myself. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to, you know, I need to be ready to come back with something. So you kind of have this mindset where you're,
I would say that's probably rooted in fear, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah. And God spoke to me really clearly because something happened. Like, someone called me and left a kind of a cryptic voicemail.
Somebody you don't normally talk to.
Yeah, and like the time they called was strange, and you know, it's just, you know, so I thought it was like
you were on the defense.
I was on the defense.
You were ready to be defensive. Yeah.
yeah. And you know, I returned the call later on, and you know, this person just was needing help
advice,
and just wanted to talk to me as a pastor and as a friend, and God just spoke to me. And I was really happy to do that. That's what I love doing. That's mm-hmm. why I am a pastor.
Yeah. Because
I want to help people. I want to encourage people. I want to preach Jesus. I want to, that's what I want to do.
Yeah.
You know, and God just showed me that's, you need to be advancing the kingdom. Mm-hmm. You need to be on the lookout for people you can pray for. You can invite to church. You can, you know, I just heard from Chrissy, mm-hmm. My dad's assistant. We had our kind of executive staff meeting with my dad this morning. We do it once a week, but here pretty soon we're going to do a couple of things to get people to encourage, invite people to church. But she looked into statistics,
uh-huh.
and only 2% of people, of Christians who go to church, invite people to church.
Yeah.
But like, I think it's something like 80% of people who don't go to church would be willing to try it out if someone were to invite
them. 100%.
So, and I just realized that's because so many of us are just kind of stuck in this defense mind.
Yeah.
like, I got to play defense. Mm-hmm. You know, what if I invited someone to church and they said no?
Yeah.
Or what if I, you know, asked if I could pray for someone and they said no? Or what if I just say, hey, Jesus loves you, and they cussed me out or something?
How many times have you asked someone, because I know the answer for me, for myself, but how many times have you asked someone, can I pray for you, and you got made fun of, or you got cussed out, or you were told no?
Zero.
Right. Same.
Yeah, and I've done it several
times. Yeah, same.
I actually learned this in when I first went to college in Pittsburgh, age 18 to 22. I went to Carnegie Mellon University for music, and I found a great church to go to there. It was actually kind of hard for me to get. I didn't have a car, so I had to take two buses to get there. Berean Fellowship Church, Pastor Mark Motor. But his mom and another lady at the church, Carol was her name. They would always drive me back to campus to my dorm, to my apartment where I lived. Cause it took me two buses to get there, an hour and a half to get there. Mm-hmm. It was about a 30-minute drive by car. But they said, from the very first Sunday, I remember when I went there, I just like knew when I walked through the door, when I was in the little foyer there, like, I started crying because I just felt God tell me, this is home.
Yeah.
Plug in here. This is it.
Yeah.
And, and I was just 18, first time away from home. Didn't know anyone. Didn't know anyone in Pittsburgh. Didn't know of any churches. And I tried a few. Mm-hmm. And some of them didn't work out just because I couldn't get a ride there and there wasn't a bus that went there. And but right in the foyer, I met this lady. It happened to be Diane, the pastor's mom. Mm-hmm. And I just told her I'm a student from Carnegie Mellon and, I'm excited to come to church. And I just said, pardon me if I have to leave early, because I knew the bus schedule. I had to walk up this big hill to get to the church. So I kind of knew, like, that bus.
You were doing the most.
Came by. Yeah. And when I kept going there, people from the church would look for me when I got off the bus at the bottom of the hill. It was the 41B Bower Hill bus. And I remembered it because it only ran every 2 hours on
gosh.
Sunday.
Oh, my gosh.
And, I had to catch that thing downtown to get to that church. And, I never had a ticket to go back, but I knew it came at 11:30.
Uh-huh.
If I missed that, then I'd be there another 2 hours. So I said, I'm going to have to leave a little bit early to catch that bus. And she just said, well, I'll give you a ride. And her or Carol pretty much always give me a ride every Sunday, but they'd always take me out to lunch after.
Mm-hmm.
But Diane, she was very involved and one of the leaders of the Aglow Women's Ministry.
Mm-hmm.
But she was in charge of the ministry to Islamic women, and just had a huge heart for women who, from that background. And she said, I think here in the U.S., a very small percentage, only 2% of Muslim people had ever been inside of a Christian person's home.
Wow.
And she, pretty much every time we had lunch, she would ask the waiter, can I pray for you? She would mm-hmm. just say, I'm a believer. My friend Aaron here, he's a believer. We love to pray for people. Can we pray for you before we leave? And she did that probably 100 times.
That's really sweet. And she never got cussed out.
Never a single time. And I remember one waiter, I could tell he, had a homosexual lifestyle.
Yeah.
Just in how he came across. And she just prayed, asked if he could pray, she could pray for him. And I just remember just the love of God just touched his heart and he started weeping and crying.
Oh, that's really awesome.
But that's how she would reach out to people. And then
that's what we should all be doing.
Yeah. But there wasn't a single person. So I really learned from her.
Yeah.
Just to don't be in defense mode.
Yeah.
And,
it's all rooted in, which we're going to talk about this. Yeah, we're going to talk about this soon, hopefully. But, that's rooted in fear when you're on the defense. So when you're rooted in love, when you're grounded in God's love for you, then you're going to act just like Jesus did when he was tempted by the enemy. Mm-hmm. Like, you're going to have an answer. You're going to know who you are. You're going to feel like you have power because you do. Mm-hmm. So it's important to know those things.
Yeah. And I remember after I went to school in Pittsburgh, I went to school in Houston.
Mm-hmm.
I was there for 6.5 years getting my master's and doctorate. And Houston was a really neat city, very diverse. They're actually more different cultures and backgrounds. It's the most, at the time I was there, there's some study that like a newspaper came out with that Houston was even like, it was the most diverse city mm-hmm. in the country, more so than like New York City. But in my little apartment I lived in there, it was like everyone from around the world was there. Like my next door neighbor was this Cuban guy.
Yeah.
And he was very sweet. I would play the flute, you know, all this loud, raucous stuff. And he like told me how much he loved hearing me play the flute. I remember one time I was playing like on the piccolo, this like modern, really wild thing. And he like said, it's so relaxing.
The piccolo is really loud too.
Yeah.
And that relaxing.
Yeah.
The piccolo?
I remember he told me
this. That is like the least relaxing instrument.
Yeah. And I like specifically played this in the middle of the day when most people aren't around.
Oh my gosh. That is hilarious.
But there was a young man kind of in his 20s and his brother who's 16 or 17, they were from Iraq.
Uh-huh.
And they were Muslim, but I think more, they weren't super
devout.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But they still like did the holidays, you know, wouldn't eat meat or bacon and
yeah.
things on different holidays. But the older one was actually an interpreter in the Iraqi war, so he was able to come to the U.S. And I think the parents had passed away, so he was able to bring his brother with him.
Mm-hmm.
And his brother was in high school, but I was talking to the younger brother who was, I think, 16 or 17 once. And I was probably just like 25 at the time, but I just made a pot of chili. I can only make like four or five things until I met Heather. I still can't hardly cook at all, but I made a pot of chili. That's like
I
one
do
of
all
the
cooking.
Decent things I could make.
Yeah.
And I just make a pot of chili and have it for, you know, the week or whatever. But I just made it and I just say, hey, you know, I have a, you know, big pot of chili. Would you want some food? And he said, sure. And he came up and I didn't even like ask him if I could pray for him or anything. But he just said, there's something different about you. And like even here in your apartment, like there's peace here.
Mm-hmm.
Like he could just feel
yeah.
that peace.
And, the spiritual
and he asked
realm
me,
is
like,
real.
What's different? And I said, well, I believe on Jesus and he is the Prince of Peace.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I invited him to church and he didn't go with me, but he started watching Joel Osteen.
Oh, wow.
That's where I went to church when I was in Houston. But
yeah.
he told me like later on, I didn't go, but I've been like live streaming, I've been watching,
wow.
watching on TV. And you know, Joel, one thing I love about him mm-hmm. Is that at the end of every service, he gives an altar call.
Yeah.
It's very, very plain, very straight to the point.
Mm-hmm.
And he would have people stand up, you know,
yeah.
if you want to believe on Jesus and make him your Lord and Savior, go ahead and stand up.
Mm-hmm.
And he would say, he would quote, you know, Jesus said, you have to confess me before men.
Yeah.
And I'll confess you before the Father. So he mm-hmm. said, go ahead and stand up. And,
yeah.
And every week, you know, I went every Sunday, the first service, there'd always be several people that would stand up.
Yeah. People are looking for the truth.
Mm-hmm.
They want to know the truth.
They
People
are
looking for the truth every single day. Mm-hmm. They try to find it in crystals, in witchcraft,
yeah.
in, you know, their personal gender,
mm-hmm.
like all these things. But really the truth is just, it's very
yeah.
simple.
Yeah, and being genuine and caring for people.
Yeah.
And he'll lead you to those moments where you can be more open too about your faith and ministering to people. I taught this man, I don't know if I told you this, maybe my parents met him. He was an older Jewish man, a doctor for premature babies there in Houston. I taught him flute lessons for a number of years. I think he was probably close to 80,
mm-hmm.
but I became pretty close to him and his wife, his family. He'd actually invite me to his home. For some of the Jewish holidays when he had three sons, very successful, would fly into town to come visit him with their families. And I'd go be there for like Rosh Hashanah, the Jewish mm-hmm. New Year. And I have a big love for Jewish people and mm-hmm. Just the lineage we have as Christians.
Yeah.
And towards the end of his life, he was very, very sick and just invited me to come talk to him. He hadn't had lessons for a few months just because of all of the health issues he was dealing with. But I remember I brought him a CD of a famous Jewish violin player named Gil Shaham.
Because
I got to play with Gil Shaham once. It was like one of the coolest experiences. I did a concert with John Williams conducting all the movie music, like Star Wars, Indiana Jones, but Gil Shaham was the featured soloist, and we did the John Williams violin concerto at the Santa Barbara Bowl. It was like packed out, sold out. And like there were some lines, I was playing first flute with the solo violinist Gil Shaham, where we had a lot of duets together, and just his sound and playing is just incredible. So I gave him the CD and just asked if I could pray for him. And, mm-hmm. and I prayed a very bold Christian prayer, like in the name of Jesus. And,
yeah.
And he was just really
yeah.
receiving. And he told me he loved to watch Joel Osteen on TV. And
you should contact him now and tell him to watch you on TV.
Yeah. Yeah. So, but people are a lot more open than you.
Yeah, they really are.
And you shouldn't just be
on the defense.
So guarded, yeah.
And be looking for opportunities to pray for people, to tell people about what God's done in your life. Mm-hmm. I love, I'm going to read, let me see what I'm going to read. It would have been really good if I would have like written down the scripture. But anyway, faithfulness is a foundational characteristic of the believer. And Jesus calls himself faithful and true when he comes back to defeat the devil once and for all in the battle of Armageddon. And it says that in Revelation, the ones that are going to be with him are the believers, and they're called, chosen, and they're faithful. And that you can find that in Revelation 17:14. And I love that, because we're so tempted to see like ministers that are on TV, or, you know, they have like a big ministry. Maybe they're big evangelists and they hold like big tent revivals or something like that. And we think, man, those are the ones. Those are the powerful ones. Those are the ones that like God is so proud of. And that's what I want to be when I grow my Christian faith and all of this. But really, God counts faithfulness higher than all of that. And, you know, there's like, I don't know, you've noticed, because we've talked about this before, about how there's like this onslaught of negativity towards any type of minister that travels or has like a large following. You know, people love to throw stones at those people. They love to talk about, oh, they're wearing fancy clothes or nice jewelry, or maybe they have a jet, and so let's all trash band together person. And trash that person. But really, are you faithful?
Mm-hmm.
Because if you're not faithful, you just need to shut up.
Yeah.
Like, give me a break. Well, like, I'm so tired of seeing like people that just trash other people. And it makes me want to be like, just worry about yourself.
And another title of the devil is the accuser of the brethren.
Yes.
So if all you're doing is just accusing, and that's really all you do.
Mm-hmm. You might be playing around with somebody you don't want to be playing around with.
Yeah.
AKA the enemy.
Uh-huh. And it's deceptive.
Yeah.
It's deceptive. And
there's nothing I can't stand more than seeing the enemy come in and just completely ransack people's lives.
Well, and Jesus said a house divided against itself can't stand.
I know, and the church needs to stop.
And
they need to wake up.
Look at people and what they're doing, and the majority of what they're doing. If all there is, they're just accusing and attacking and trying to tear down.
Stir up drama.
Yeah, are they actually building things or doing things or looking at the whole picture?
I love what one of my favorite ministers said about when he hears stuff happen, like behind the scenes with different people that maybe he knows. He says, I don't think about it, I pray about it. And man, that is like some of the best advice.
And you don't need to talk about it.
And you don't need to talk about it.
That's true.
I can't. Sorry. I get a little hot-headed when it comes to this kind of
It's just funny what people try to blow up to.
In the name of, we just need everyone to be aware.
Yeah.
How about just live by the Spirit? Live by the Spirit and let the Lord tell you what you need to be aware of. Anyway, I don't even know how we got caught up. I don't even know how that happened, but.
But Jesus is looking for, he's looking at people's heart and looking at their faithfulness.
Yeah.
And I love what you said too, just when Jesus comes again, like, we're all going to be rewarded according to what we've done in Christ. And we're going to be in for some surprises. You know, God's spoken to me pretty clearly,
too. I can't wait to see. Honestly.
About just very sweet people who even help here at the church that I know they're going to have just a mega mansion in heaven.
Oh, yeah.
And they don't have, you know, a big following or big, they're, you know, they're just extremely, usually very faithful.
Yeah.
There's one man here, John Schweier.
I love John.
Yeah, I think he's been here as long as I've been here, 9 years, probably longer.
And, yeah.
But just sweet as can be. And it's a miracle he's alive. He actually had
a heart.
Like 99%.
Yeah.
Blockage and had to have surgery. But he's doing a lot better now, healthy, strong, really hears from God. But he's someone who just encourages me. He ministers to me. There's people like that. Like, I just love to see them because just their presence ministers to me. But, like, God told me he's going to be one of those people that's going to have a real huge
I would believe that.
In
I would
Christ
believe that.
In heaven. And incredibly sweet. I remember when we moved into our new house together several years ago, I never mowed a lawn until then.
That is insane.
Yeah.
As someone who grew up in Tennessee where we have lawns, that's what we do is we mow and we mow.
And we got a house, and Heather told me she, of the hundreds of houses that I showed her, she wanted this one because of the big yard it had.
I missed the yard.
Yeah. But it was a lot of, I had to learn a lot, but John came and helped me.
He taught you a lot of stuff.
He actually came helped me out for like 9 hours one day. We took out a lot of dead bushes and trees. Mm-hmm. And I just asked him, what can I pay or give you? And he said $50.
That's like a lot of work.
Yeah. And so we added a zero to it. And, you know, probably most people would charge even more than that.
Probably. That was a lot of work.
Yeah. But he really helped me a lot.
Yeah. And, he has an inheritance.
And he showed me, like, a lot about the irrigation system, how to fix things. And we have a lot of landscaping. And now I love it. I love, you know, working on those things.
But he's a great guy. He's an example of to all of us of how to be, just our mindsets.
Yeah, and I think it's important to look for inspiration, too, from people that God's placed in your life like that. It might be a family member, maybe just an usher at church.
Yeah. Well, you know, even if you're watching this and you don't have someone, you might be sitting here thinking that, like, I don't have anybody that I can look to for inspiration. Well, you know what? You can look at the Word of God. Mm-hmm. And the Word of God says, blessed be the God and Father. This is Ephesians 1:3-5. Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. And in layman's terms, if you have a hard time understanding that, basically, God's saying that he has already blessed you with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So as we go and we find out who we are in Jesus, who we are in Christ, and what he did for us, what he provided for us on the cross, and how we can walk now, it's going to help us live on the offense. And we're not going to be so defensive and worrying about, you know, different things like what people think about us, or, you know, we're going to be bold. Mm-hmm. And then it says, without blame, we should be holy and without blame before him in love. And he's already predetermined us as adopted as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. And I love that it says it was his pleasure. It was his good pleasure to do that for us. And I was thinking about this, and I have this in my notes, that after Ada was born, you know, 12 hours of labor, After she was born, you got to hold her, right? Mm-hmm. And at any point in time, did you ever think, like, oh, maybe one day I will determine, I'm going to believe that Ada is going to be homeless, living on the streets with no education, no money, know anything that she needs. Did you ever think that?
No.
No. What did you think?
I was thinking about the best life possible.
The best life possible for her. And then, you know, you're thinking, oh, she's going to have a great life. And immediately, you did this with Fisher, and you also did it with Ada, started scouting out all the best schools that she could go to. And, you know, the first one we found, Ada, she went to school. It didn't work out. Wasn't a good fit for her.
A preschool.
It was a preschool. Yeah, a preschool. It wasn't a good fit for her. And what did you do? Did you just say, well, that's it, Ada. Sorry. I guess school's not for you. Mm-mm. No, we found a better school. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think that's so, I love that, because when we mess up, when we try to do something and maybe it didn't work out, we don't have to, it's not God doing it to it. He always has another route for us to take, and it's better than the first one.
Yeah. And sometimes when you deal with an obstacle, one tendency again is to go into retreat mode.
Yeah.
You know, actually yesterday at church, I kind of shared this as part of the offering message, but just how we need to be on the offense mode. Mm-hmm. And there's a man about our age who helps us with youth, and he actually oversees a $1 billion investment fund, but he told me how much that word connected with him and what he does. So I was really encouraging people to be on the offense,
yeah.
You know, and financially, like, want to grow, want to increase, want to keep giving, and the enemy wants to get you into retreat mode. And he said there is a really strong business person that he was working with who kind of their business took a few hits, and he just started getting that retreat mindset.
Yeah.
And rather than looking for opportunities to grow and
to
come
expand,
back,
yeah,
that just became that mindset.
Yeah.
And he said they ended up just completely shutting down.
Yeah.
After several years, because that mindset took hold of them of,
yeah,
of retreat, not bouncing back, not trying to, you know, shift and grow. And
that's not the spirit of God.
No.
The spirit of retreat. Mm-hmm. After my first husband passed away, I was like excited to keep going, to keep going forward. And I know that that's because of who was living on the inside of me. Mm-hmm. And I'm so thankful because I could have just like shriveled up in a little corner somewhere, but no, I was excited to just.
Yeah. And I think like when we dive into the armor of God, you know, I'm sure that some of those things that's in scripture, that's inspired, was at work in your own heart and your own life. Mm-hmm. And, that's probably where the enemy is trying to attack too, is your stance on those things.
Always.
Yeah, but this is how you stand.
Mm-hmm.
And truth is a huge thing. That's the first thing that's mentioned in that armor of God. And for you, you had to know too, like, that God isn't the one that did that.
Mm-hmm.
It's the enemy that did that. You know, Jesus is the healer, but the enemy is the one that steals, kills, and destroys. And you wanted, you know, Fisher. You know, when you moved here, he was just 4.
Yeah.
You wanted him to really grow and know that too. Like, you're not a victim. You know, the enemy stole something, but we can still stand and have victory in life. And that mindset, it's always better off. You're always better. You are always 100% of the time better having a victor's mindset than
a victim's mindset. Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't mean that there aren't battles, there aren't hardships, there aren't persecutions, but you are always better off believing God, trusting God, knowing who He is, knowing who you are in Christ, that you are more than a conqueror. You're always better off believing that, holding on to that, than letting go of that.
Yes.
100%
of the time.
And I see people who develop that complete retreat mindset, complete defeat mindset, And it, honestly, it's pathetic.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's people who haven't been through anything.
Yeah.
And I'll just say this. I saw a young man.
Oh, no.
I'm not going to say the person's
name. Don't.
But I actually told my son Fisher about this. You know, this young man's probably around 25, but I saw him just post something on social media about how when he was a kid growing up, someone told him.
A compliment. Just leave it at that.
No, you're cute. You have cute dimples, cute chubby cheeks. And he said it's just, and this is, again, like 20 years later, just how it's traumatized him and how he's never been able to smile because...
all the trauma it caused him.
He didn't use the word trauma, but...
but basically.
Like he...
well, it must be because I mean, it's been 20 years.
Don't comment on people's appearances. I told Fisher about this. I said, Fisher, my goal for you as you grow up is to not be so incredibly sensitive.
Oh, my gosh.
That even a compliment you can twist in your own mind and turn it into this horrible thing that you hang on to for decades.
Yeah.
And there is no victory in that.
No.
And maybe you are that overly sensitive, complete victim person. Like, you need to be
there's
delivered.
A better way. You need to be.
You need deliverance.
Yeah, you might need deliverance. But there is a better way, and we're just telling you this because we love you. We do.
Yeah.
And you know what? I love this
in
person.
That mindset.
I know. It's
terrible.
And
God has told me, too, when I start creeping into that mindset, and sometimes it's because I've been attacked and I've been hurt and I feel like retreating.
I know. Yeah.
Being a little paranoid.
It's that
and
little
whatever,
pity party.
And who's talking about me? And,
yeah.
And God told me to get out of that. Like,
yeah,
pull
your thumb out of your mouth and grow up.
Yeah.
That's what your dad says. I love what Joyce Meyer says. She says you can be pitiful or you can be powerful, but you can't be both. You cannot be both. And I think about this all the time because as a woman, I know you already know if you're a woman and you're watching this, we're tempted. We're so tempted to get into a pity party. Mm-hmm. I have to give these kids a bath every single night. I have to make dinner every single night. I have to do the monotonous things every single day. It's the same thing every day, day in, day out. I get it. But do not fall into the pity party. Mm-hmm. You know what you can do? And this is something that I've started doing is spend time. You can spend time with the Lord while you're doing other things. Mm-hmm. If you can think about things while you're doing dishes, if you can worry about things, if you can... you can stew on things, get mad, you know, sit here and think about all the times your husband made you mad while you're cleaning the house up and all the things you have to pick up after everybody. If you can think about all that, you know what you can do? You can quote scripture. You can pray. You can pray in tongues. You can do all these things, and they're going to help you get out of that, be on the offense and not the defense.
Yeah. And the enemy wants you to think that you're on the defense.
Yes.
Or that your church is on the defense, your family's on the defense. But we have the ball. Since
yeah, we
Jesus
do.
Got out of that grave, we are on
that's
the
right.
offense. We have the ball.
Yes, that's right.
And he wants us to move it forward.
Yes, he
does.
He
wants us to take ground, to help people, to love people, to be his hands and feet.
Mm-hmm.
To be as he was in the world,
yes.
So are we in the world.
Yes.
And that's a huge thing.
Yes, it is.
And Jesus was not just in retreat mode.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to, we'll go through this now.
Yeah. I'm still standing better than ever did. Okay.
You know, and Paul's writing this. You know, he had the mindset of a victor.
Yeah.
And he said, finally, my brethren, this is the conclusion to what he's writing to the church at Ephesus, you know, to a local church. And this is to be circulated to other local churches. And
then to us.
So this is his big conclusion here. Finally, my brethren, be strong.
Yes. Don't be a wimp.
Don't be pitiful. Be powerful.
Mm-hmm.
Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. He's the one that gives you the power.
Yes.
Yeah. And this is important to realize, too. You're not, if you have Christ... if you have Jesus inside of you, you are not a mess.
You're not a mess.
You're not just a sinner. You're not just, you are powerful. You are a saint. And too many believers have the mindset of, oh, I'm just a sinner. I'm just
a mess. I'm never going to be able to change.
But you need to see yourself in Christ.
Yes.
You need to identify with that, to mm-hmm. stand in that. Don't stand outside of Christ. That's called being in the flesh. Anything outside of the cross, out of Jesus, is flesh.
Yeah.
And some of these, you know, cute little sayings that people say, like, oh,
like,
I'm just
one?
A sinner.
Oh, it, yeah.
It's a complete flesh statement.
Well, it's a lie, too.
It's a lie. It's Anyways.
There's a lot we can say
I'm going to be positive.
That. Are we?
I'm going to.
Is this podcast for positivity or?
I could go down one flow, but I'm going to stay on a different flow. Well, I'll just go there.
Oh, God. Okay.
I'll tell everyone here.
Oh, gosh.
This is a safe place here.
This is the internet. Nothing is safe in the internet.
It's going to be, someone's going to dig this up years from now.
It's fine.
Whatever.
Whatever.
But there is a, I'm on a Facebook group where, you know, like new people moving here.
Yeah.
Want to know, hey, where should I live?
What, like a community.
What's to do? Yeah. What to do? What, are there any concerts going on? You know, where can I take my kids to entertain
play,
them? Whatever. Yeah. But someone's like, I'm new, moving here. Like, are there any good churches? Where should I go to church? And, you know, 100 people reply.
You read through all the comments?
Just a few.
You skimmed.
I'm just, it's the, you know, doctoral side of my brain. I'm just.
Go ahead.
Researching.
We all do it.
But
it's fine.
A few people mentioned one church that's kind of trending. And, one or two of them mentioned like the motto of the church, like why you should come here. And the motto was like, we're just a messy church with messy people doing messy lives.
Oh my gosh.
And you can come as you are to Jesus, but there
hopefully
is power.
Hopefully you leave changed.
Yeah.
Hopefully.
I was telling Caleb on staff here about it, and he's like, the Messiah takes away your mess, you know.
That's awesome.
It was funny. But the power of his might, there is power.
Yes, and it's his power
to give
you. And it's
his, yeah. So be strong in the Lord in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. That's the schemes.
Mm-hmm.
He's such a schemer.
Don't you remember Wile E. Coyote?
Yeah.
He was always trying to get that.
And he always got defeated.
He did. He got the anvil every single time.
Yeah. We do not wrestle against flesh and blood. And this is really important too. Like I remember, this helps you when people are attacking you not to take it so personal or demonize that person. I remember I dated someone once for 2 months, but it just wasn't the right thing. And I told her that, and she like cussed me out for like it was like
the tales of Pastor Aaron's
I saw another,
dating life.
But I like. When that was going on,
you saw into the spirit.
No, I was like, it didn't affect me. I didn't even care.
Oh, yeah.
Like I'm like, oh, well, this is why God told me.
Oh, it's I can see it all now.
I can, yeah. And anyways,
the
I didn't like cry and I wasn't hurt and I just
do not wrestle against flesh and blood. You didn't hold it against her.
No,
right.
You don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. There is stuff going on. You know, and we have angelic forces that help us too.
Everything's motivated by something.
Yeah.
Like you're
and God's side is so much more powerful than the enemy's side, than the devil and demons and but like there are angels too. You know, I was just thinking about how powerful the you know
angelic forces
I was reading something that Jesus said too, like the disciples brought children to him and they said take the kids away, and he said no, like you need to be like them. But something else he said their angels
see the face of God,
stand before the face of God. And just that really ministered to me too, just thinking about, you know, our own children and youth ministry, that young people do have angels on their side, and they like see the face of God.
Yeah, that's amazing.
And you know, school started recently, and there's kind of it was like a back to, you know, school just started up, and youth, like half the kids were just
out to lunch,
really riled up and
not
focused during worship. But God just showed me how important it is for that age group to worship.
Yeah,
Him, and how Jesus. When he was being taken away to be crucified, when, you know, the soldiers and religious leaders came there to the Garden of Gethsemane, you know, Peter took his sword and sliced off the high priest's servant's ear. Jesus said, you know, check yourself, Peter. But he said, I could call right now at this moment 12 legions of angels to come and fight for me. And I was thinking about I looked it up. What's a legion? A legion is 5,000. It's like a Roman army thing. Mm-hmm. 5,000. So he could have 60,000 angels there fighting for him. And I was just thinking about, you know, angels are involved in protection, provision often, and also in worship. And I was just thinking about, you know, Jesus could call for legions of angels to worship him, but he wants these 13-year-old
that's more important
to worship him, mm-hmm. and how important that is in the scope of eternity. Like, you're only going to be that age for just a
well, how special it, of an how eye. Special it must be for him, but you know, like his creation.
Yeah. And, but he can call for legions of angels to worship him at any given moment. But, you know, and just how important that age is, too. I was thinking about, you know, even Jesus' life in Scripture. There's a lot about his birth, a lot about his ministry after he was baptized, but not much about his growing up years, except
when he got lost.
When he got lost and...
Or I guess when his parents lost him. You know, rather, he wasn't lost. He was in the
12,
temple.
13. Yeah. And said, well, I'm about my father's business. And,
yeah.
And... But how that moment, that age was mentioned in Jesus, and it said that he grew
in wisdom,
stature and favor with God and with man.
Yeah.
But there's just like a, why that moment was mentioned in the life of Jesus here on this earth. So that there is a heavenly stuff going on. Mm-hmm. There are angels, there are demons. But we're on the winning side.
We are.
And but this is I love this. This is so practical. He says, take up the whole armor of God. And it's something that you have that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, I'm still standing. And the first thing he mentions is truth. Mm-hmm. You know, stand therefore having gird your waist with truth.
Yeah.
And if people are deceived or open to deception or aren't seeking truth,
you're not
about Jesus, about Scripture, about his body, about people, about, you're going to be a lot more susceptible to being
deceived. Yeah.
And affected by the wiles of the devil.
Yeah.
So truth, it's a huge thing.
It is. And then it says, having put on the breastplate of righteousness.
And righteousness, it's talking about your right standing with God.
Right.
No, so you're not just a sinner.
Yeah.
You're a saint.
Mm-hmm.
You stand right before God. You can come boldly before his throne. That's what protects your heart, your lungs, your life, your breath.
Mm-hmm.
You need that.
Yeah,
you need
you do.
To understand righteousness.
Mm-hmm. And having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, and above all, taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. Mm-hmm. I love that because one time we were going through something and it felt like fiery darts. Mm-hmm. And the Lord told me that the fire of the Holy Spirit quenches every single fiery dart of the enemy. Mm-hmm. So what burns on the inside of us is so much greater than what the enemy tries to throw at us. Mm-hmm. I love that.
And when I was thinking about this, I got this picture of when I was 11. You know, our son Fisher is 11. All the 11... Sixth graders are moving into youth right now. I was thinking about when I was 11, I was so excited because in Kit Carson, we're a group, a town of 300 people, Eastern Colorado. There wasn't a whole lot to do there, but I remember, like, I was so excited because I was going to play football. And they had six-man football there in junior high. And I got my helmet, shoulder pads, leg pads, and I brought them home. And I was excited to play with my brothers in the backyard. We're going to take all this armor.
Mm-hmm.
And I got the helmet. I was 11. My brother Andrew got the shoulder pads. He was 9. And Peter got the leg pads. He was just 7. And he got hurt.
Well,
and he ended up being the toughest. He ended up going to Princeton through football, being able to, you know, be recruited to play football there. But all this armor mentioned in Scripture, there's nothing that covers your backside,
mm-hmm.
like covers your back, your rear.
Yeah.
It's because you're only meant to move forward. You're not meant to retreat.
Yes, that's right.
And when you retreat, the enemy wants you to retreat because that's where
he can attack you.
He can attack you.
Yes, it's true.
And when you go into that mindset,
mm-hmm.
again, God dealt with me about your mindset, mm-hmm. like not.
It's something you have to, like, you have to check that every day.
Yeah.
You have to check it every single day. Mm-hmm. And it's just as simple as like, oh, I need to repent. I need to turn around. I need to.
Yeah.
Like, it's not a big deal. Yeah. You just recognize it and then you keep growing. Mm-hmm. You will keep growing. Mm-hmm. And what you practice is what you're going to be good at. Mm-hmm. Right?
That's true.
Well.
And that's something you said about, like, one of the reasons why you wanted to move here.
Yeah.
After your first husband had passed away. You moved here about 7 years ago. You said you wanted to move here because you wanted Fisher to grow up not with a victim.
Yeah. Mindset.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he doesn't have that mindset.
No, he doesn't. He thinks he's good at everything. He thinks he is. You have said this so many times. He thinks he's an expert at all things.
Yeah.
Which is fine. He's not. But I would much rather him have confidence mm-hmm. and have that type of mindset than be so upset when someone gave him a compliment.
Yeah. And it's good. It's good to be confident, too. I want to tell people, like, it's good,
yeah,
to, be
it's good to be confident.
But have that humility with it. Yeah. Pride is another thing.
It's good to know, be confident in the one who's in you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I see that in him, too. Like, he's very confident.
Yeah.
But he has that humility.
Mm-hmm.
That tender heart, too.
Yeah,
that teachable.
Just, yeah, and he's, of course, not perfect. He's still growing. I mean, he's only 11.
Yeah.
So, anyway.
Awesome.
Well, this is great. This is a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Okay, if you're watching this and you want to come to a good church, you should come to Charis Christian Center in Colorado Springs if you're local. If you are not local, this is a great place to vacation. It's beautiful. Mm. You can come vacation, come to church, come check us out. You'll love it. If you live in one of these remote places like Pastor Aaron was talking about and you don't have a good church, why don't you pray about moving here and being a part of our church? We have a phenomenal church. Your life
Connect
will never
online
be the
too.
Same. I know. I was about to get to that. Connect online. We live stream all of our services on YouTube. You can connect on YouTube, Facebook. You can go to our website, CharisChristianCenter.com. That's amazing. You can check out our ministry and all of the other ministries that we're connected with. And oh gosh, it's amazing. We're doing a lot. Mm-hmm. We're doing a lot. What else, Aaron?
Also, if you want to just support
what we're doing,
you know, we have
not just us though too.
Yeah, the whole ministry.
The whole ministry. Yeah.
But I believe that it's a great thing to support, to give towards, to mm-hmm. invest in, and we are on the offense side of things.
We are
expanding
the
kingdom.
Yeah.
So if you want to be on our team, help us out. You can give us a call. Go to the website. Do a one-time gift or a monthly mm-hmm. Type partnership, but we have a lot of awesome partners too.
I try to partner with everybody that if I get fed somewhere, I want to give mm-hmm. some money, because that I know that I'm planting seed in mm-hmm. good ground, and whenever I give, the word says it will come back to me pressed down, shaken together, and running over. And I can promise you, because the word says so, but not only because the word says so, because I've seen it happen in my life, that he really does stick to his word. He really mm-hmm. will give you seed to sow mm-hmm. if you sow into good ground. And I know that this is good ground. I'm very excited about what the church is doing and what this ministry as a whole is doing. And also, comment. Let us know where you're watching from. Let us know, you know, what you got from this podcast. We want to know. Mm-hmm. If you have any ideas of what we can talk about, you know, mm-hmm. this is supposed to be a conversation.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll answer some questions. That would be fun. Mm-hmm. So anyway.
Awesome.
Awesome. Thank you so much for joining us today. And we can't wait to see you next time. And until then, we bless you. In Jesus' name, have a good day.